Blog Talk Radio.
I didn't hear what you said.
It's okay. We're live. We're good. Don't worry, Tony. Hi, it's myself and Tony. Tony Matthews. I told you about. I sent a text out. Not a text, but I put the show out that today. I love Tony. She's one of them. Let me back up a little bit. Sometimes I forget to tell you some really important information. I met Tony, and Tony is always happy. She has heaven on earth with her home, and, you know, and she mows 10 acres, does yoga, has a sweet relationship with her sweetheart, and is always learning, going to a financial seminar, going to yoga class, also, you know, taking care of her, going to see her son, and he's a new granddad, and this lady's going to be a great grandmother. And Tony, you have told me 70 is the new 20, right? 71?
Right.
Okay, so now you're 21. You're legal, but you can drink.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, but she lives a life of joy and happiness. And I think, and she's successful and happy. And she is her bliss. Even when you are your bliss, your family, mainly your dad, disowned you about, well, tell the story, what happened, because I know that you have a great story and it'll touch a lot of people's heart. And I'll ask questions, but
Okay. Sure, share
with everybody
okay.
How you became better instead of bitter, because you could have been bitter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, everyone in my family was gay except my dad. So my mother and my brother and I were all gay. And I was actually bisexual.
Okay.
I got pregnant and back then you had to get married, you know. Nowadays you just get pregnant and you go on with life. Back then you had to get married, and the father of my son was very, very controlling, and it was just an awful, awful, awful marriage. I mean, it wasn't a marriage. It was I had already gone through my parents fighting my entire life. My dad left my mom and ran off to Florida and had a new family. He left Vicksburg, Mississippi, and just left us. My mom was uneducated, and she worked at a grocery store to try to support us. But anyway, so my dad went down to Florida and had this other family, and when I got pregnant and got married, of course, my husband and I were having, from day one, problems because he was, he wanted me to, he was not circumcised, and he didn't clean himself, and he gave me this horrible, horrible, horrible PID. Of course, back then, everything was a female's fault. You know, when you went to the doctor, it was your fault. Nothing was ever brought up about the male. So,
wow. Your husband gave you this, right? The PID, is that what you're saying? Because he was uncircumcised.
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
He didn't clean himself good. Wow.
Right.
May I ask you this question, too, because your mom was gay, your brother was gay, you had to get married. Had you had an interaction or realized that you were gay yourself?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I was always attracted to women.
Okay. Had you had an interaction or an affair with a woman yet? Or
no, not
come?
Yet. Not yet.
Okay.
You know, I was madly in love with my best friend, and, you know, from age 13 until whenever. But, you know, she was straight and stuff. But, I didn't have a female encounter until after I was married.
Ah,
and he went into the military. He let's see, he went into the, yeah. We were having this horrible, it wasn't a marriage, because we would stay up, you know, until all hours of the night arguing about having sex, and then I would finally give in so that I could sleep. But anyway, so he had gone into the military, and my son was born. Out here in Texas.
Right.
And so I, because it was such a, you know, I knew my, whatever this existence was, wasn't good because I had gone through it, you know, with my parents, not talking
right.
to each other, and or it was just horrible growing up. So I finally, you know, I said, well, and so he, oh, yeah, there was this woman that I had, Brian was born in Texas, and my mother's girlfriend at the time was a year younger than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She had these really young girls.
Right.
But anyway, so, of course, I had this horrible crush on her. Nothing was ever done. But then when I moved back to Mississippi, when Brian was born, the day that Brian was born, his dad got out of the military, and he came to Texas, and he made me move back down to Mississippi, and he forced me to take a 10-day-old baby in a road trip down from Texas to Mississippi, and so it was just, so he was so controlling, and anyway, so the girl that I had this crush on, my mom's girlfriend, they had broken up after that. And she told me, you know, if you want to come to Texas, I'll come and get you. You just let me know. Well, she had written me just a generic Valentine's Day card. and it came to where I was living out in an 8x10 or, 8x48 mobile home in the country. And it came to the next door neighbor's mailbox. She got our mail, and so she confiscated this letter, and she took it to my husband and showed him and accused me of being queer. And,
wow.
So, I mean, it was just a generic card. Well,
I want to ask you one question, okay? So your dad was out of the picture, right? He had left you guys.
Oh, yeah,
and started a new family.
Uh-huh.
Your mom had, she knew she was gay. So, I mean, this is years ago in a time when, you know, whatever you were, you had to be the norm, and the norm was being straight, and
right.
people looked
yeah.
down on being gay.
Yeah.
Okay, back then.
Right.
So your mom.
Yeah,
your mom,
he made her have sex with him.
Okay, your mom. Oh, wow.
Fine.
Okay.
He was just, you know. It was all about his needs and no one else's. So,
okay.
okay. So what else?
Well, it was about his needs and no one else's, right? So you were supposed to be straight, married, and have children.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were in it. You were a little. The times are changing, but not quite yet.
Right.
So you had not been with a woman until this gal came and.
That's true. That's true.
Okay. And then, but you knew that you were attracted to men, you knew you were attracted to women, you were bisexual.
Right.
And so then your dad, I mean, your husband calls you queer, and you have your little baby, little Brian with you.
Right.
He's 10 days old, 12 days old or whatever. And the Valentine comes, and what happens next?
Oh, Brian was 10 days old when we had to move back to Mississippi.
But, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I told Brian's dad, I can't live this way. You know, I cannot, I am not going to bring my son up like this, constant arguing and all this. And so I said, well, what we would do is he was in the National Guard. And so one weekend we would go to the National Guard in Vicksburg for the weekend. And then the next weekend we would go and spend with his family.
Right.
That was our life. And so he wouldn't let me have any friends at all. And because I was had this horrible crush on my best friend in high school. And so, and he knew that. So, but like I said, nothing had ever happened. So anyway, I told him, I said, you know, the girl, her name was Jan. She said, you know, if you want to come out here, I'll come get you. And so I decided I wanted to go. I called her and said, you know, I'm ready to come. And so she came to get me. But you know, I told, well, I one day he was at work, and so I packed everything. I put his stuff on one side of the trailer, and my stuff and Brian's stuff on the other side of the trailer. And I said, okay, you know, when he came home, it was just horrible. Well, we had, my dad, yeah, when he found out that, you know, this other woman was in the picture, he called and he made us come drive down to Florida and, you know, to try to, he was going to straighten us out.
Okay.
And so we went down there, and the only thing he could tell my husband was, you know, if you get a divorce, then you're going to have to pay child support for the next 18 years. That's the only thing that he could say. Didn't matter anything about my happiness or anything. So,
right.
So that's the way we left, and, you know, he said, you know, if you get a divorce, I don't have a daughter anymore. He disowned me. And so that's where it was for 20 years.
For 20 years, your dad was upset at you because you were divorcing, and because you're with a woman when you went to see him, right? And
yeah, well, I was going, yeah, I hadn't been yet.
With her, but
he knew, knew I was gay.
And he knew your mom was and your brother was.
Right.
That is, wow, okay. And he was the only straight one in that mom, dad, children. Okay. Wowzer. Okay. That's a karmic deal there. So your father, for 20 years, you didn't talk, right? And your dad built a family, another family, and all that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And I keep saying wow, but that's, so he, the family that he built, are they, what's the story? Were they gay? Are they straight? Were they normal?
No, they were all straight. Yeah.
Okay.
They were all straight, but he still, he had this, like I said, his wife had cancer, and he always ran around on her, and they had an arrangement that he would provide for her as long as he could go and have all the women that he wanted, but he didn't bring them to the house. He had a glass company, so he could go and do whatever he wanted to do. But then she, you know, she would just stay at home and take care of the kids. They had two kids then.
Right.
And so that was their life. And so, but everybody's straight down there. So.
Okay. But your dad had a wake-up call of sorts, right? I mean, and you went through and,
what happened was his wife died and he brought her back to Vicksburg, Mississippi, to be buried. And my cousin there wrote me or called me and told me what had happened. And so, because Brian, my dad hadn't seen Brian since he was like, we had gone, a girlfriend of mine had gone to, we were going to go down to Orlando to Disney World. And so we went and he, you know, he was just really ugly to the woman that I was with. And then he proceeded to have sex with his wife in the bedroom next to us, and, you know, I knew what was going on. I mean, it was like, yeah. And so he was just really, really horrible. So he, you know, that was the only, Brian was like 4 years, six, four or six. And that's the first time that he had seen Brian since Brian was 6 weeks old. Well, and he still, you know, he disowned me. Brian was his only grandchild.
Right. So he just said he didn't talk to you after that until 20 years later his wife died.
Yeah, when she died and I went down to Vicksburg and went to the funeral, and when I walked in, he, you know, he was this Italian, really nice-looking Italian man, you know, had all this wonderful charisma and stuff, you know, and, but I walked in and, you know, he said, "Who are you?" And my aunt said to his sister, "That's your daughter, Toni." And
he told that to your dad. "Who are you?" And your aunt says, "This is your daughter, Toni."
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that was 20 years later. Wowzer. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So he, I told him, you know, I had missed him and all that kind of stuff. And I guess he had softened some since then. But when the funeral was over, the last time as Brian and I were, coming back to Texas, he said, you know, if you want to come down to Florida. See, he had wanted me to come to Florida to go to college. He was going to pay for my college. And I knew that I was gay. I knew that there was no way that I could go through that under my dad's roof.
Right.
So, anyway, I chose to come out here back to Mississippi and to Texas and all that. But, he says, if you want to come and see me, come to visit, I'll pay for your plane ticket. So that is how we got back in touch. And, you know, and I, since then, I had come down. I went down to Florida several times, and he kept his Mississippi family stuff separate from his boys. Didn't know everything that went on with my family. You know, me and my brother and mother and all of that. He just Don't ever get with a queer, because she'll take your money. All she'll do is take your money. So that money was his only thing. So, but anyway, so he did tell me that, and I did go down there several times and visit, but we could never talk, you know, of course, about my life. And so I finally figured out what we could do. We could go, I could go, because he liked football, and so I did too. And he lived out. He had 10 acres like me, and he had cows and a farm and stuff. And so what we would do, I would go during football season. I would go on a Thursday and then come back on a Monday. So that would give us the weekend to watch football game on Saturday and Sunday. And he liked to go out and eat and stuff. And so, you know, we would do that kind of stuff, but we never had conversations.
About you being gay? About
life or anything.
Wow.
So it was all very superficial. And,
right.
That's what I would do. I would go down there and I usually go around my birthday, which was November 11th.
11/11, right, I know. Yeah, that's cool. May I ask you a question? So you realize, you have a realization, you can't be mad at your dad because he lives in a mindset, a stuck
right.
mindset.
Exactly.
So you, okay, so anybody else that's suffering this, you know, for whatever reason, sometimes it's not sexuality or what you prefer, maybe it's something else about the job you do or whatever.
Right.
So you looked at your dad and you knew he was never going to be the dad of your dreams, right?
Right.
Okay, so you had to take him for what he was or what he is or, you know, when
yeah.
he was here.
Yeah.
And he never told you he loved you, right? He
oh,
never
no.
did.
No.
Okay. He never met Dane, your sweet wife now. He never met her.
No.
And okay, but he said, okay, you come to my world and you sit here and we'll watch football together, and that's what you used to do with him, right? And you guys didn't have a deep heart of conversations, but
right.
You learned to accept him.
Right.
Would that be what you would tell someone now? Because I know that you do a lot of that right now with people that you're dealing with, right? Like the young lady in church, and she was young, and she wears black, holds her head down, and is embarrassed about her family, about how she is because her family doesn't approve, right? And so you helped her with that. But how would someone learn to do that? I mean, it took you guys a few years to get together, 20. Now,
yes.
I know, I think that's him more than you. I may be wrong about that, but was that more him or more you, or just you, you know, you always wanted to but didn't know how? How did
oh,
that
no.
happen?
Oh, no, I would call him. I would send him okay. letters and stuff. I don't know if he ever got them, but, yeah, I would call him and send him letters, and he would never respond.
Okay, okay. And the only reason, or the only way he responded is when you showed up at his wife's funeral.
Right.
And he says, who are you? And you're like, I'm your daughter, or your aunt did. Wow. Do you think that affected him where he was a little bit nicer and he says, okay, come and see me, that when he saw you at his?
I do.
Okay.
I think he realized, you know, that he, because I was his only daughter.
Uh-huh.
I was the firstborn only daughter. And, you know, we were very close when I was little. You know, he was my idol. I would go everywhere with him that I could go. I knew that he was leaving, and I would go get in his truck, you know, be sitting there, and when he came to get in, and I would go wherever with him. You know, he was my daddy. So that's
you were
what
daddy's
hurt.
Girl when you were little. I
oh,
get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what hurt me all of those years, because I knew, you know, that the feelings that I had for him and I thought that he had for me, but he just couldn't, you know, he was just not a, you know, he just not wasn't one that would talk to me.
Yeah, I get it. I understand that. And it wasn't, and this is something, so if somebody has something and they're looking for their parents' approval and they're not going to get it, you recommend live in truth? I think that's what you told me. You always got to be true to yourself, right?
Yes, yeah.
And who you are. Because for you to try to be straight or something like that, it's not going to work, right? So you have
right.
to find, I think, a middle ground.
Just try to, what did you say?
I said I think you have to find a middle ground to work on, to work
exactly.
with. Like you.
Yeah,
okay.
I knew that I could talk to him about the weather. Oh, yeah, when I would call him all of these years, you know, during the time when I wasn't down there, you know, I would call him often, and we could talk about the weather, we could talk about his cows, and we could talk about football. That was
okay.
it.
That was it. So you never, you know, you knew that's how you had to connect with your
exactly.
dad.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any regrets about your father, or have you put him to bed? Do you feel anything, you know?
Well, you know, he has since, well, I figured it out because, I really like psychology, and I've delved into a lot of, you know, read a lot of, I've
right.
done a lot of psychology stuff and, you know, taking classes and everything. And now I understand him, and I'm better able to accept him and know that but see, he was a cook in the Marines, and what he did was he cooked for us. And he would, you know, cook these great meals, these Thanksgiving meals or Christmas meals or, you know, like I think, you know, when I would go down there, he cooked. That's the way I figured it out. That's the way he showed me that he loved me, was to provide for me for food, with food. And, you know, we'd go out and eat and all of that because we like to go out and have food.
Okay, so you both you found something in common.
Right.
Okay, so he liked to cook and took care of you that way, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And, okay, so and that helps you not be bitter, because you can find a way, but you look deeper into things rather than being angry at things, right?
Right.
Maybe?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, that's a great, great way to be. So you look deeper at your life, you look deeper at his, and you go, okay, how can I connect with him? And you delve, and you're a great person too. You like to learn things, right? And that helped you with this situation and others? I know how it's helped you, but I would like to hear how you think it's helped you by learning and like psychology, cooking.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So that's helped you realize your own value, right?
Yeah.
Your own worth. Okay. Yeah, you are a big studious person. You're over there learning at the financial seminar. You don't want to be a banker, or you just want to understand. That's good.
Right.
I think so. Let me ask you a question. Instead of getting down and out and thinking you're worthless, you said, "Okay, let me figure out more about this situation." So you like to learn. Therefore, you were able to not be angry and bitter. Although I think that you had to go through that. You learned to observe your father rather than to be angry with him.
That's right. And also, Dane, of course, she helped me all of these 25 years figure this out, figure him out, and she knew, she's the one that would make me talk about everything, because when we got together, like I said, I came from my dad, and you never talked about anything. So she made me talk about things, and she made me figure things out like that. And so she's been, the godsend in my life for sure.
Okay, yeah. So you had what you didn't get from your father, your sweetheart has given to you. But then you could respect your dad more, or find joy in what you got from your dad.
Right.
Because you knew he was never going to say, "I love you, be my daughter." But he had to do it the way he had to do it. So that's not your problem. That was his, not problem, but that wasn't, you didn't own it. You didn't take that as a challenge for you because you weren't good enough, you felt, or you didn't feel that. You made sure, this is good. So you made sure that you took your, Dane helped you with that, but you knew you could never change your father. You had to love him where he was. Maybe that's the thing this is. It's like living your truth. And so your father wanted to change you, so you had it right back in your lap and said, "I can't change my father. He couldn't change me, so I'm going to accept him where he's at." That's great. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I have to tell you, the end of the story is he died in 2014, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in his will. He had me and my two half-brothers, that we were all three equals in his will.
Oh, good for you. Okay, yeah, wow, okay. And good. So your dad showed his acceptance that way too as well.
Right.
That's great. And you live in a dream home. You have a dream girl.
Yeah.
And you get to study and learn. And you mow 10 acres with the top of the line riding lawnmower. I love that stuff. Like, okay, and that's a form of meditation for you too, as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
There's so much that's, the same, similar about he and I. We both lived on 10 acres. We both loved to mow. All of that. I mean, there's just so much about him that I am, and I'm just glad that I had the opportunity. That was the thing. I never want to have any regrets about not going down and spending time with him that I could, even though it was not the ideal situation. So I've never had any regrets, and I've got good memories, of my time with him. I've got pictures and things like that, and we would hug us and all of that stuff, and he just never told me that he loved me. And
he did it with action. We talked about that. So, anyway, and I know you visit with him on the other side.
Yes.
Okay. Tony's a new angel coach, everybody. And so just so you know, and she's fitting everything together. She's going to have her own show today on Wednesday. I'm helping her, you know, with it. You're so good at it. You're natural. And I love her. So you guys take care of her and enjoy her shows as she progresses with it in 2019. And I'm going to be in the background more and more and more. And Tony's going to be the one that you're going to hear from. And what your girl gave you this name. Tony is an earth angel. Isn't that sweet? I love that. And helps everybody. So you guys have a wonderful now. Tony, I'm going to talk to you in just a second. So going to check with a couple of things. We usually pray, and we'll do that next time. So, but we may be off the air now. But anyway, you guys have a wonderful, wonderful now. You know what? Let's just pray. You want to pray? Because even if we're off the air, we got to pray.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
Does that sound good? Okay. I'm going to start it. Dear angels, dear God, dear soul family of Tony and Dane's, keep them safe and healthy and help little Dane get better and be super strong, and help Tony too as she's building the show and building her catio. She's a cat lover, and she's got things that she makes and things that she recommends, because she is the cat whisperer, the dog whisperer. She's all those things. And thank you, God, for helping her be strong, and thank you for giving her the strength. I see why she has a great life. She appreciates it. And thank you for helping her son and that new little grandbaby for her son and great-grandbaby for her and that whole family to grow and trust. And thank you for helping Brian get his new career started, and Tony and Dane to have a great holiday season together. And we say amen, and so it is.
Amen, and so it is.
Anyway, okay, so We're going to figure all that out about how to reach you and do that too as well. So if you guys are still listening, hit me up on Angel Coaches if you want to talk to Tony more, and we'll see what we can do. But she will, then this year coming up, in the next few months, she will have a way you can contact her, and because she's a great gardener, she's a great artist with wood, and I don't know how to say it, but you'll see. And has a great she's a cat whisperer. I had to get some of those stories to hear about little kitties. But you guys take care. Have a wonderful now, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye now. Want to say bye?
Oh, bye.